In your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And we will look today at verses 10 through 12. Late at night, a jeep drove into the clearing. Four men with machine guns jumped out, and inside they handcuffed a school teacher and the pastor of the local church. He had a friend, and they were forced into the jeep. They rode along the rugged road until they reached the bridge. There they pushed the pastor out. Knowing that something was about to happen, he asked permission to write. And he wrote these words, "We are going to heaven." As he walked along the bridge, Pastor Yana sang this song. "There's a happy land where saints in glory stand. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there." His song ended with a burst of machine gun bullets, and his body tumbled off the bridge into the river below. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men cast insults at you, and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on the account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's a question on your sermon notes. Are these words of Jesus about persecution, are they relevant in the year 2005? Yes. And I say yes because of a twofold meaning. Number one, a global perspective. Listen to this. From the middle of last year, 2004, to the middle of this year, 2005, 169,000 Christians have been martyred. If the trend continues, according to Barrett, Johnson, and Crossing, the estimate is that by the year 2025, an average of 210,000 Christians will be martyred annually. Our brothers and sisters, red and yellow and black and white across the globe, who stand for Christ, are dying as martyrs. There is a global perspective, but there's also a biblical directive. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Why is it that the name of Jesus invokes such passion and such anger in people? Why is it that the Cobb County school system is going to be forced, like the Barlow school system was forced, to spend thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands of school dollars to defend the name of Jesus simply for students to pray in that name? Well, there's a tension in this world. There's a tension between the cross of Christ and the mind of man. There's a tension between the fallen nature and the new creation in Christ. There is a tension that the cross itself brings on society. And for those who are saved, born again, redeemed, washed in the blood, whatever manner you want to describe it, for those who are children of God, there will be persecution. look at the reality of persecution with me. Notice again in verse 10, blessed are those who have been and those who are in the act of being persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Would you underline that in your Bible? For the sake of righteousness. Then in verse 11 he says, blessed are you when men shall cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Now underline this, on account of me. He says in verse 10, because of righteousness. And he says in verse 11, on account of me. What does that mean? Well, let me walk through this with you and tell you first what it does not mean. He does not say, blessed are you because you are an obnoxious human being who likes to throw around the name of Jesus. Over in Peter, he speaks to the fact that there are those who are persecuted for righteousness, but there also are those who are persecuted because they're evildoers, and they are busybodies, and they are murderers. You need to understand the difference between being punished and being persecuted. You may be punished by society and those around you because you're simply obnoxious, but that's not persecution. He does not say, blessed are you because you are a fanatic. Now, I think it's all right to be a fanatic, but the fanatic that I speak of here is one who uses Christ and uses the name of Jesus to bring recognition to themselves. Look at me. Watch me. I want you to think about me. And if that's your concept of Christ, forgive me, but you've missed it. Fanaticism is not all about you, it's all about Him and the cross. He does not say, blessed are you when men are persecute you because you stand for a cause. We live in a nation where it's okay to stand for a cause. You can protest the government. You can protest the president. You can protest the war. There are all kind of just causes. You have a right to stand for them, but just because you stand for a cause, that doesn't mean you're persecuted. Neither does he say, for being good are you persecuted. Goodness will be punished sometimes in an evil society, but that doesn't mean persecuted. What does he say? He says, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, on account of me. And they're one and the same thing. If you are righteous for the sake of righteousness, you may or may not be persecuted. But if you are righteous for the cause of Christ, for the cross, on account of Jesus, then that is persecution. Let me show you why the world hates the cross. Turn with me, hold your place in Matthew, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke and the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 16, verses 13 and following. Jesus has spoken concerning how we should use mammon as he's given the illustration of the unjust steward. And he says, persecution comes because of mammon. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, when we read the next verse, we're going to find out that he's speaking here of mammon in the context of money. Now, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. Verse 15, and said to him, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of man, but God knows your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. There are two shafts in the shaft of persecution. One is because men love to hate good. and men love evil. When Jesus speaks of mammon here, you can't serve the sovereign who is God and mammon. It's not simply money. Mammon is the whole system of which money happens to be a part. Mammon is the system of this world. It is ungodly, denying God. It is anti-Christ, denying the very Christ of the cross. It is anti-church. It is anti-that which is righteous. And if you stand for that, here's what he says, you will be persecuted. Stand for the cross. Say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other way but Him. And you're going to be persecuted. Why? Because we live in a pluralistic society. And people will say, and some of you are doing mental gymnastics with me even now, saying, but what about those who follow the nation of Islam? And what about those who follow the track of Buddha? And what about those who believe differently than Christians? I want to be very clear here. I want to be as clear as I possibly can be. It's not about following the path of Christians. It's about following the path of Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And if Larry King were to ask me, do you believe that there's any other way to heaven other than Christ? I would say, absolutely not. Jesus is the only way. And in a pluralistic society, people would say, you are narrow-minded and bigoted. Your mind is archaic, antiquated, out of date, out of step, and out of time. And it may be all of those things, but it's never, ever wrong to stand for the truth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake on account of me. John Piper applies that for us. Here's what he says. If you cherish chastity, you will be attacked by people who love free sex. If you embrace temperance, you will be a statement against the love of alcohol. If you pursue self-control, your life will indict excessive eating. If you live simply and happily, you will show the folly of luxury. If you walk humbly with your God, you will expose the evil of pride. If you are punctual and thorough in your dealings, you will lay open the inferiority of laziness and negligence. If you speak with compassion, you will throw callousness into sharp relief. If you are earnest, you will make the flippant look flippant instead of clever. And if you are spiritually minded, you will expose the worldly mindedness of those who are around you. Jesus said, if the world hates me, the world will hate you. There's the reality of it. But what about the response? Go back with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and notice what Jesus says about our response to persecution. He says, rejoice and be glad. You say, what? You think those guys and ladies whose pictures were on the screen a while ago who were martyred for the cause of Christ, you see that and then you read that? I look up there and these are real live people who had real live families and real live interests and friends. You think they thought that? I look at the passion of the cross and the actor who was playing Christ there, and I see the blood-spattered body of the Son of God, and the response to that kind of persecution and possible death is what? Rejoice and be glad. It literally reads like this, leap for joy, jump for joy. Now, how do we respond to those who persecute us? Stay in the same chapter. Matthew chapter 5, and notice what the Bible says in your reading around verse 44. Look at what Jesus said, how we to respond to those who persecute us. Verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Now watch this. "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more with others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Father is perfect." Jesus said if people are persecuting you at school because of Him, at work because of Him, even at church because of Him, you are to respond to them in love, because in responding in love, you are becoming like your Father. That's quite amazing to me. I'll give you some scripture. We won't turn to it now, but in the book of Acts chapter 5, it's amazing how the apostles responded when they were persecuted. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said they preached the gospel, they were put in jail, an angel came and let them out of jail. You would think, had they been put in jail for preaching the gospel, that they would have gone to the nearest resort and got all the rest they possibly could. As a matter of fact, the people who were looking for them were even fearful that they had escaped, and somebody come and said, "You don't have to worry, they're down there preaching in His name again." And when they brought Him before the court, they said, "We rejoice and we're glad that we were worthy to suffer in His name." God says the godly respond with rejoicing and gladness. This is not some sophomoric, idyllic theologian preaching who's never known any pain. This is the darling Son of God who tasted the pain of the cross. Not only the reality, the response, but the reward. Look in verse 12 again. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is," look right here, "salvation." Is that what it says? No. In other words, because someone is martyred, that does not merit them eternity with Christ. "Your reward in heaven is great." The very fact that they suffered, God says, "I've marked down every time somebody lied about you, every time somebody railed on you with their tongue, every time somebody struck you, every time somebody did something evil against you, I've written it down, and I want to promise you, every time there was pain, for that pain, the reward will be greater and greater and greater and greater in heaven. It may not come on this earth. You may never see anything on earth but martyrdom and death for the kingdom. But He says there's coming a day when you will know in full your reward in heaven. In the faces of the people we've seen on the screen, God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into thy reward." Then He says, "We'll be in good company. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." John Rogers was burned to death, and his children were made to watch. Listen to what this author wrote. His children accompanied him to a place of execution. And what did they do? As his children watched him die, being burned to death, they called out encouragements to him through their tears that he might be strong and not turn back and dishonor Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed by Hitler's Gestapo only a few days before the liberation of his camp. And he said to Paine Best, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." July 16, 1972, a 20-year-old soldier in the Soviet Red Army who turned to Christ was tortured to death The day before, July 15th, 1972, he wrote his brother, and here's what he said, "Don't tell our parents everything. Just tell them Vanya wrote me a letter and writes that Jesus Christ is going into battle. This is a Christian battle, and he doesn't know whether he'll be back." Jim Elliott, who died taking the gospel to the Anka Indians, and as he died because a teenager lied about them, he and four others died. And Jim Elliott wrote in his memoirs before his death, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I want to read this illustration to you, and then we prepare our hearts for the table of the Lord. John Chrysostom was a godly leader in the 4th century. And he preached so strongly against sin that he offended the empress and some of the church officials. When the emperor Arcadius called him before him, he said to him, "You must cease preaching. If you do not, we will banish you." To which he replied, "Sire, you cannot banish me, for the world is my Father's house." "Then I will slay you," Arcadius said. "Nay, but you cannot, for my life is hid with Christ in God." Arcadius said, "Your treasures will be confiscated." And John replied, "Sire, that cannot be either. My treasures are in heaven, where none on earth can break through and steal." "Then I will drive you from man, and you will have no friends left." "That you cannot do either, for I have a friend in heaven who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed are you when men will persecute you on account of me. Would you bow with me, please?